Turn once again, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I began a short series of messages from these verses 29, 30, and 31 before the Lord brought the virus to Kathy and I. Four messages. And this morning I wish to bring the fourth of this series. Are you with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Once again, let's read the Word of God. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Don't skip over that, folks. I know we've read this three times before. Some of us have read it so many times that we can't even count it. And yet, just as we come to the table of remembrance to remember our Lord and what He has done for us, we need to remember this, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Is He not omnipresent in all things? If you don't believe in a God who is everywhere at all times, involved in every single thing, we call it sovereign, then you don't believe in the true and living God. Plain and simple, you're destined for damnation. But if God in His grace, in His love for His people, has come to you when you were dead in trespasses and sin, when you knew not God, when you were running from God, when you were shaking your fist going, I'll not have the God of all creation rule over me. If He's come to you in the day of His love and revealed to you, as we were reading in that song, what? Let me read that again. What was that? Page 210, right? Let me just read that song one more time here, how that went. How did that go? Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. That's what we all come into this world with, is a heart of stone. If God has come to you in the day of His loving power, cutting away the old stony heart and giving you a heart to love Him, then you'll read these words and you'll understand that no flesh, nothing in this flesh, nothing have I good, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Then we read on, but in verse 30, but of Him, but of God Almighty, not because of something you've done, not because of you exercising your so-called free will. Lepers don't change their own spots, folks. A deer won't go out and kill an animal and eat a fresh meat because it's not the nature of a deer. We can't change our own spots. We can't change our own stripes. God must do that. It is God who can speak to the hearts of men and women. It is God who spoke to our hearts when we were dead in trespasses and sin and gave us life. So when He said, John, come forth, when He said, Lazarus, come forth, when He said your name and told you to come forth, you had life to come forth. But of God are ye in Christ Jesus. This Christ Jesus, this one who we are in, who of God is made unto you and I wisdom. Our wisdom is in Him. His ways are not our ways. Stop thinking about what you know in this world and start thinking about what God has said in His Word. There is wisdom in God's Word. You want to know the truth of anything? Don't listen to it on the news, because you're not going to get the truth of it there. Don't look at it in some newspaper, because you're not going to get the truth of anything there. The only truth we have in this world is the Word of God.
Amen.
And God has made His Son to be our wisdom. We don't fall into that trap of thinking there's something of ourselves that's smart. We know, as children of God, our only wisdom is in Him. He is our all in all. But of God, He has made His Son unto us righteousness. There's no righteousness in us, and we know that. Once we were blind, but now we see the truth that there is nothing good in this flesh that we have, that we walk around in. What are you telling me, John, that there's no good in me? I fed the hungry for Thanksgiving. I gave all kinds of money to this charity and that charity, and I went down and I worked in the soup kitchen. Are you saying, John, there's no good in me? I'm not complaining against those who do those things. Those are wonderful things, but that's not the good, the righteousness that God needs. Because even in our good works that we do on this world, in this earth, even our good works is tainted with the sin of this flesh. And every child of God knows this to be true. It's real easy for us to take credit for something that we didn't do, or that we think we did. God has made this Christ to be our sanctification, our holiness, our setting apart. We are sanctified in Him. And then it says that of Him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who made unto us redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We spent a little time on wisdom. Our wisdom was once a carnal wisdom, an imaginary wisdom. Oh, we may have been wise of what we see in this world, but we had no understanding of the truth of God. Sometime when you have a moment, I'm sure you won't mind me saying this, if you have not already heard it once, and I've got to tell you, I don't mind hearing it again. But you sit down with that dear brother, Mike Lovelace, in the back, and he'll give you a testimony of what he once thought was a very wise thing, a very wise religion, and how God showed him that the wisdom of that religion was nothing but, well, Paul declares it this, he calls it dung. And if you don't know what that is, I recommend you talk to your parents about what it is. Dung. Michael will tell you the same thing. It was nothing but dung. We may think that we know wisdom, that we have wisdom, because we look and we see things through these eyes. But I say again, our God's ways are not our ways. That's according to His Word. We have no understanding of the truth of God. In fact, the truth was enmity to you and I. We rejected it. We would not have it. We would not seek it. And we could not understand it. Yet our text says, but of Him, of God. Or in other words, because He first loved the people, and we are the ye, that's the people that He's speaking of, the ye's are in His Son. It's not ye's because you've made a decision. It's not, you are not a ye because you have done something. It's because Christ has done something. He's taken up residence. We are in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this Christ of Holy Scriptures has been made unto you and I wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We consider the word righteousness. A thrice holy God cannot look upon sin. His holiness is so rich, so righteous, that one must be as righteous as He is to be in His presence. Do you understand that? Now, if you could do everything there is of the law of God, thou shalt love God with all thy heart and all thy mind, I'm already done right there. That's it. I can't even go any further than that. I'm sorry, but that's the flesh. But if you could, everything you do in the flesh is tainted with sin. So even your so-called righteousness of following the law, you see, the law was never made to save anybody. It was made to show us, it was given to show you and I that we can't do it. And we need a substitute, one who can. One who is righteous as God the Father, one who has all power as God the Father, one whose blood is so perfect that it would pay for every sin of every one of his people forever. There is nothing, there is no condemnation, no charge to God's elect. If God be for us, who could be against us? Can the devil charge you with anything if God has already taken those charges and paid for them? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, the very same one that we're reading about him, where it says, but of him, for he, of him, God the Father, hath made him, that's the same one it says here next where it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. This is the same one right here. Made him, made that very one, because we know that Christ Jesus knew no sin. We know that Christ Jesus was perfect in everything that he did. There was never any sin that he would say was his, that he committed. Some say that he was the greatest sinner that ever walked this earth. I would beg to differ with you. Our Lord was never a sinner. He took our sins. He was made to be our sin, but he never sinned. Our sins were made his, but they were still ours and his. He hath made him to be sin for us, speaking of him who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous, the righteousness of God in him. You need to be righteous, folks. In order for you to spend eternity with God, crying out, Abba, Father, you need to be as righteous as God Almighty. Is that not what our text is saying? But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto you and I wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according to it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Today we want to spend a little time considering this word redemption. And it can only be found in him, the blessed Redeemer of his people. Now the word redeemed we read is a primitive root. It means to redeem. It's according to an oriental law. It's something that only a kinsman can do. Did you know that we are kinsmen to God? Where do you see that, John? Is not the Lord Jesus Christ, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh? Isn't that what the Word of God says? He's our kinsman redeemer. That's what the whole story of Ruth is. Ruth was a Moabitess woman, a pagan, and Naomi and her husband were children of God. And the Lord caused a famine to come on the land of Bethlehem. That word means city of bread. And he caused a famine to come upon that land. It says in his word he caused it. I'm not making that up. That's not something John's interpreting from God's word. It says he caused. Did you know that God causes all things? He's the root cause of all things that happen. He's not the author of sin. Do not take what I just said wrong. Sin is man's cause. Adam is the one who sinned against God. But God allowed it to happen, or it wouldn't have happened. That's how sovereign God is. He's sovereign over everything. The first cause of all things are in His hands. Some people don't like to hear that. They say, "Oh, John, how dare you blame sin on God?" I'm not. God created man, and man sinned against God. This word redeemed means to be redeemed, to be paid for by your next of kin. It means to be purchased, to be ransomed, to be brought near. And it's always, and it means by a kinsfolk, by a man. So notice in our text that our text uses in the form, this form, redeem, as an action accomplished. Isn't that what it's saying there? It says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification," and what? And redemption. That means God has caused you and I in Christ to be redeemed already. God the Father has always seen the actions of God the Son as an accomplished deal, as an accomplished thing, as a finished product. Listen to the words of Revelations. Allow me to quote for you from God's Word, showing you what I just said. God the Father has always looked upon His Son as an accomplished thing. The works of Christ are done because He said He would do it. He still had to do it. He still had to go to the cross. He still had to lay down His life. But that was a covenant that was made with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit before anything ever was. And because of what Christ said He would do, the Son of God said He would do, God the Father says it's done. I know He'll do it. Listen to the words of Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." If Jesus Christ, who has always been Jesus Christ, who has always been the Son of God, He just wasn't man. He wasn't born yet in the flesh. That's why we read, God was manifest in the flesh. The great three in one are of one purpose, and that is to redeem the elect of God. Listen to Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel that I am the Lord." He's speaking to the prophet. "Go out and talk to the people of Israel, Moses, and tell them that I am the Lord, and I will bring them out of from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." That's exactly what the whole ordeal of Israel and Egypt is. Egypt is a picture of the bondage of sin that you and I were born into when we came into this world. We were bound by our nature, to our sinful nature. And the Lord redeems His people. Listen to Jeremiah 15:21, "And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible." And then we read in Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous for good works. Our redemption is all that God requires of us, and it is done. It is finished, saith the Lord. We have been bought with a price, the price of perfect blood, the righteous blood of Jesus Christ himself. Listen to the words of Hebrews 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But it also says this over in chapter 10, verse 18. Now where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. You get that? Come unto me, our Lord says, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. That's talking about those who are trying to have their sins forgiven by whatever it is they must do. Whether it be good works of doing good things on this earth, or making a decision for Jesus, or coming to the front and saying some prayer, or getting into a baptismal, or doing anything that you think you might be able to do to give your sins, get your sins forgiven. No. Now where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sins. If Christ died for you, it's done. You are redeemed. And God the Father looked down through time and saw what his Son would do, and he said, My people, and I will be their God. When the blood of God was shed on that cross a little over 2,000 years ago, it accomplished its purpose. Oh, how it bothers me for people to come into this world and stand before others and tell them, if you will do this, God wants. God has done all that he can do to save you. Now it's up to you to receive that. That's taking the work of God and putting it under the feet of men. To trample on it. And to say it's not worthy. He's not worthy of being called God because I have to help him. That's what free willism is. That's what doing whatever people tell you you have to do is. It's taking the sovereignty of God away from God and putting it in the hands of men. The people of God are cleansed from all of our sin. We are made righteous in him. You see, this is how God gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. Isn't that what we read in our text? That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I have nothing. I've done nothing. My God has done it all. That's glorifying him. Do you realize the word grace, in its true meaning, glorifies our Lord? Has God been gracious to you? Oh, I pray that you experience it. Experience grace. A lot of people know what the word grace is. They know what the word of God says about grace, but they haven't experienced nothing. They don't see what they are before God. Destitute. With nothing in their hands. Nothing have I, Lord, to offer you. They don't see that God chose a people from before the foundation of the world. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2. It'll be to your right in the scriptures, just a couple of pages. They don't see the truth of God's word on how he chose this people, not for anything that they would do, but because of what his Son would do. They don't see that the calling of God is an irresistible call. God's people cannot help but come. Did the apostles by the seashore stop and say, wait a minute, I'll be right there, Lord. I got to go home and take care of some business first. No. When God speaks, he speaks with power. And the call of his people is irresistible. The world doesn't see That when Christ died on the cross, He died for a particular people, and that particular people are redeemed. Paid for. No ifs, no buts. No empty seats in heaven. The power of the blood of God that was shed on that cross has all power in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And you had nothing to do with it. You can't say that I found God. Many like to do that. Oh, I found God in 1972 and I've been a Christian ever since. And I know every one of you have heard somebody say that in your life, haven't you? James has several times. You can't say that. You know why? Listen to Romans 3:11. This is God's word. It's His word. Not my interpretation, not my definition. This is the Word of God, plain and simple, and I believe every bit of it. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And I know that was me before the Lord saved me. How do I know the Lord saved me? Because I know He did it. I know He did it all. There's nothing of John that wanted him. He wanted me. He wanted you, and He will have you if you are His. If He shed His blood, if He redeemed you, He will have you.
Okay. Sometime.
Trust me. When that time comes, you'll know it. It's called experiencing grace. No, not one true child of God will ever say, I found God. Why? Because a true child of God believes all of God's Word. We don't understand it all, but we believe it. And He says right there, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. We believe His Word. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 2? Let's just read that whole chapter, shall we? We got 5 minutes. Plenty of time. I'll try not to go too much longer. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That means that He gave us life when we were dead. Wherein? In other words, wherein you were in those that dead, trespass dead and trespasses and sin, wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Are you a child of God? Then you know this is you. You know that this is a description and you went through this very thing. Your conversation in times past was in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. I know that by nature I was a child of wrath, even as others. That's how you experience grace. You know that you were just like that. And by His grace, that's what it says next, but God. Verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, hath quickened us, given us life, together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Now we'll stop there. Our salvation, our redemption, our sanctification, our righteousness is of the Lord. But God, it says in verse 4, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. For by grace ye are saved, not of yourselves, it says in verses 8 and 9, lest you should boast. Folks, salvation is of grace, unmerited favor. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 9, verse 13. As it is written, this is God's word. As it is written, as it was written throughout the Old Testament on every page, God loved the people. Do you know that's what this picture of Israel was? Picture of Israel was God taking a people out of the world setting them aside, setting them apart, giving them the holy oracles of God, the very things that pointed them to Christ. He said, "You shall be my people, and I shall be your God. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Ooh, the world does not like that. How dare you tell me God hates anything? God loves everything. No, He doesn't. That's what His Word says. And if His Word says it, I believe Him. You want to argue with Him? You go ahead. You'll be doing it for eternity. You'll be doing it for eternity. And someday, you will see the truth that it is absolutely correct. And it might be too late. And there'll be gnashing of teeth. Saying, "But what I did was in the name of the Lord. Depart from me," the Lord will say to you, "you who want to argue with my word, depart from me. I never knew you." That means He never knew the heart. He never had an intimate relationship. Do you know that before you and I ever even came to the Lord, before He called us unto Him, He was having a personal relationship with us? Everything that was created was for you and I. For this very moment. Mike has a poem, and I don't remember the exact title of it, but it has to do with time ticking away. Oh, I got to make a copy of that, brother, and pass that out to every person I ever meet. That's a good song. "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? For He saith," or "God forbid, for He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that it is not of him that willeth." Whew. One of these days I'm going to flat out to the face of the free willer ask them, what do they do with that? "For it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." But the Lord doesn't stop right there. Listen to these next words. "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh," hear this, we've already heard the word of the Lord say, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated," but listen to this. "Did I not say earlier that all things, the first cause is God? For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up." That's deep. That's not flapping around, floundering on top of the pool. That's diving down deep and getting good stuff. That's stuff that the world cannot understand. They cannot understand it. And that's why they say, that's not the God I want. The God I want is one who loves everybody. And He's doing something for everybody. A fair God. That's not fair that God would raise one man up to destroy him. God's Word says it is. "For I have raised thee up that I might show my power in thee." Did you know God destroyed Pharaoh and his whole army? And He didn't do it in some secret little way over here to the side, get rid of them over here, nobody will see it. He did it wide open in front of millions. Millions of people stood on both banks and watched the waters that had come up. Tell me that's not something that God would do. Raise those waters up, cause the land to be dry, bring His people out of that awful pit of sin, saving, redeeming His people, and then cause the water to collapse on all of the Egyptians. Millions saw that. "I raised thee up that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, He," speaking of our Lord, "hath mercy on whom He will have mercy." And then it says these words, "and whom He will, He hardeneth." You ever read the account of Moses when he went before the Pharaoh? You'll see two different hardenings of the heart of Pharaoh. One, you'll see in one of the instances where the Pharaoh's heart, he hardened his own heart. And another one, you'll see where God hardened his heart for him. All the Lord has to do, folks, is withdraw his restraining hand. Pull it off. And you and I would be right there in that same boat. We'd be right there with that very crowd that cried out on the day that the Lord hung on the cross and died, screaming, "Crucify him. Let Barnabas, the killer, go, but crucify this man who calls himself God." We'd be right there because it was our nature at one time to do so. We were just like them, and it's only by the grace of God that we're not. As a child of the true and living God, I have peace with all of this chaotic world that I live in. I have peace with all of the sin that I see within my flesh. I have peace with all of my iniquities. I have peace with all of my enemies. By His grace, I am in Him and He is in me. I live and hear His voice, the voice of His Word, right here in this book, because He is gracious to me. He has loved me from before the foundation of all creation. Look over at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, if you would. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as He has chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, holy and without blame before Him, before God. Why? Because we are in His Son, perfect in every way as He is. And then it says, in love, which you go with verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Why? According to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace. The grace we were just speaking of. The very glory that we read in our text. Him that glorieth, glory in the Lord. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in His Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made unto you and I, having made unto the children of God, the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Okay. I'm going to ask you, let me just enough time to make one more point, and then I'll bring this message to a close. Our Lord has redeemed all of His people throughout all time, for whom He has died and paid the ransom price. They shall be saved. We cannot lose our salvation. There are no empty seats in heaven. When God does something, He does it perfect every time. And Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. He's the God-man. He was manifest in the flesh. He was the one from the beginning who created all things. As it says in John 1:1, all things were created by Him. In the beginning was the Word. That's the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus Christ in Him crucified. And the Word was made flesh. Our Lord has redeemed all of His people throughout all of time. All for whom He died and paid the ransom price shall be saved. We cannot lose our salvation. It was paid for with the price of His blood. He laid down His life for His loved ones, and then He took it up again. That's what it says in John 6, verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. Wicked hands crucified our Lord of glory. Yes. But yet it was by Him, as we see in His Word, in Acts chapter 2:23, Him, speaking of Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel. Bet you didn't know that. Bet you didn't know that. You mean, Jesus wasn't
killed by a bunch of people in their vicious actions? Yes. Yes, they were. Remember I told you that all things are first caused by God Almighty? He allowed man to sin. He could have created perfect beings. He did, the angels, didn't he? There. And some of them fell. Was that not God's purpose that they would fall and there'd be a devil? Wicked hand crucified the Lord, yet we see in His Word Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Salvation is of the Lord, and that includes everything involved. It was God's will that His Son should stand in our stead. It was God's will that His Son would be in our place as our substitute and pay the ransom price, redeeming His people unto Himself. Our kinsman redeemer paid the price for you and I that we would be able to spend, just as Ruth spent the rest of her life with Boaz, you and I will spend an eternity with our Lord and Savior who paid the price. All of the Old Testament, all of Holy Scriptures point to our Redeemer. He accomplish our redemption, and we'll close with words in Hebrews chapter 9. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9 in your scriptures. Again, to the right, just a few pages. Hebrews chapter 9. Again, I apologize for going a little long, but folks, you know I was sick for 4 weeks. I get to give you a little more for a couple of weeks, right? Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verses 11 through 14. But Christ. But God. Being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained. Catch that word, obtained? It means done. When He died, arose from the grave, and arose into heaven to sit on His throne, salvation was done. Every one of us have obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen.